Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it is the top of the hour three, it's the live broadcast, and we'd love to hear from you. Love for you to be a part of it. Give us a call right now if you can, 844-322-2742. You can speak directly with us here at Basic Gospel. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, by the way, 844-322-2742. So give us a call, friends. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's one of my favorite passages in all the New Testament. It's Romans 10:17, and it's so crystal clear. And here's what Paul wrote. Consequently, faith, and that's what we're talking about this week, is faith, faith alone. That was one of the things that emerged from the Protestant Reformation, that it's not faith plus works, it's not faith plus baptism, it's not faith plus anything else, it's simply faith alone in Christ alone that brings about salvation and this new life that we can experience every day of our lives. So he says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So faith comes. Faith isn't something that is sitting dormant inside of us. It comes when Christ comes. Why? Because faith has no meaning apart from Jesus Christ. He is the substance of our faith. So there was a question on the table by the disciples, Lord, increase our faith. And he gave the example, if you had the faith of a mustard seed. And he used that a couple of times in his discussions with the disciples. And we take that as meaning it doesn't take a lot of faith. And I think the real message there is it's not about size, it's about substance. That little mustard seed grows into a big tree that offers branches to birds and all sorts of things. So it has that life built into it, and it grows and grows and grows. And so we have to recognize that faith isn't about size, it's about substance. And the substance is Jesus Christ himself. Yeah. Apart from him, there is no faith. It's just an empty word. We can apply it to a series of doctrines. So there's lots of religions that will talk about this is our faith. Well, what does that mean? Well, it simply means that these are the 10 things that we believe, or here's our doctrinal statement. That's what it means.
Yeah.
But faith, this new way of life, finds its meaning, finds its substance, finds its essence in Jesus. So it has to be connected to Jesus. So it comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So it comes to us through hearing the message, and that message is heard through the word about Christ. So a lot of people say, you know, let's just show people the good news by our example. Well, if you're doing that, you're missing what the Bible says. People have to hear the message about Jesus. So we have to speak this message about Jesus. And that's the critical, I think, phrase in this entire passage, the word about Christ. That's where faith comes from hearing that word about Jesus. That's why we've tagged our ministry, Basic Gospel, hear it, believe it, live it. Because I guarantee you, if there's 250 people sitting in a church on Sunday, there's about 25 that have actually heard a message about Christ. The remaining people have taken in the information, and when they've processed it through all of their filters that they've gained through life experiences, it comes out a completely different message. So here's what I mean by that. Well, we hear that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somebody hears that, and when it filters out, they will say, I need to be a better person. Well, if that's what you've taken from the message about Christ, you have not heard the message. You have altered the message and made it about you.
Yeah.
Folks, the gospel isn't about you. You aren't in the story until you believe the story. And then when you believe the story, then you're absorbed in it. You are caught up in this good news story about Jesus. And you benefit from that good news story about Jesus. But the story is about him. So if you hear it and it comes out and you're a part of interpreting that story, you're a part of that equation, you haven't heard it. Because it is about Jesus and Jesus alone. He is the one that died for our sins. He was the one that was buried, putting an end to the law. He was the one that was raised alive so that we could be made alive spiritually. It's all about Jesus. So when we hear the message concerning Christ, that's when faith shows up inside of us. If I am relying on anything that I've done, that's not faith. That is a reliance on human effort, and that's going to get you absolutely nowhere. So let me ask the question, have you heard the message about Jesus? Have you really processed that message and asked the question, exactly what has Christ done for me?
Yeah.
When you do that, then faith is close at hand, I guarantee you.
You are not in the story until you have believed the story.
That's correct.
That was a good phrase you coined there. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial. If it is the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast. We want you to be a part of it. Again, 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and in Canada. Give us a call, friends. You know, friends, as a reminder, we have this new DVD series called The Reformation Project that Bob and Richard have created, and it centers on the five truths that ignited the Protestant Reformation, and we have a copy for you as you make your October gift to support this ongoing message of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ that we call Basic Gospel. To make your donation, simply go online to basicgospel.net and click the Donate button, or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Now, outside the U.S. and Canada, PayPal is your best way to contribute to Basic Gospel. We hope that you'll take the opportunity to use one of those methods and join us, friends, as a partner with Basic Gospel. Well, guys, a question from Rena, who writes to us from Waco, listens to our great KBBW affiliate there in the Waco area. She says, or asks, really, is God angry? She says, I've been told that God poured out his wrath on Jesus. I don't know that this is scriptural, but in Romans 5:9, it says Jesus satisfied his wrath. I really need an understanding from Scripture. If he's angry, why does he still want all to be saved? That doesn't sound like a God who is angry.
Well, God is love. That is his essence, and that's what we learn about God when we come to Jesus Christ. Now, there was this issue of sin. God said to Adam and Eve in the garden that the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. So the consequence of their decision was death. And we see in Romans 6:23, for example, that the wages of sin is death. And so Jesus came, he became one of us, he inhabited the body that God the Father had prepared for him, and he offered that body as the once-for-all sacrifice. The writer of Hebrews says that he tasted death for all of us. So he stood in our place, he took that consequence of sin so that we could be released, so that we could be set free and experience new life. Now, what motivated God to do that? Was he angry and Jesus said, well, I've got to go and fix that. And yeah. All of a sudden he offered his blood and God no longer was angry. He now could see us differently. I don't think so. Because the Bible says God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. So love motivated the act of sending Jesus. Love was all over that plan as it came to be before the foundation of the world even happened. Why? Because Christ was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So this was a plan birthed and bathed and motivated and compelled by the very love of God for mankind. So we see God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. This is love, that God sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. So God has always loved us. Now, sin has told us a different story. Our own understanding has told us a different story. And that is corrected when we take a look at Jesus. And I think that's important for us to know, isn't it, Richard?
Well, yes. The problem here is we take the word wrath and we filter it through our own experience.
Yes.
When I'm angry, I do things like slam doors and wipe things off the counter and throw things and kick the dog and yell at my wife. I don't do all those things, but that's how I think of it. Yeah. don't ask the dog. But we think of it purely in human terms.
Yes.
We think of it in terms of someone who's just barely under control. One more millisecond, and the guns are coming out. That's not wrath as far as God is concerned. God's wrath against sin is simple, very, very simple. It's death. And we died spiritually in Adam because Adam and Eve sinned. They rebelled, and they died spiritually, and we eventually die physically. That, to me, is an indication that the wrath that we suffer, if you want to call it that, is completely different than human wrath. Because God keeps us alive physically so that he could reach into our lives and draw us to himself so that he can resurrect us and make us alive again. That's not the kind of anger that humans have.
No.
Not at all. And so we have to divorce this definition we have of wrath from God. God's wrath is not my wrath. His wrath is the kind of wrath where he weeps as he said, I have to honor your choice.
Yeah.
That's a completely different thing.
Yes, it is. It's, you know, the wages of sin, and that's key. The wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. That's what God said. It's like if you've you know, you're not feeling well and you go to the doctor and they run a battery of tests and they come back and they say you have cancer. Well, what's the consequence of that cancer? Well, cancer is going to do some things.
Yes.
And for many people, the wages of cancer, so to speak, is death.
Yeah.
Now, God didn't cause that. It's just the result of what cancer does. And it's the same with sin. Sin has its consequence. It's built into it. It's not just an act. When Adam and Eve chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they thought they were choosing wisdom. That was the deceptive nature of Satan's temptation to them.
Yeah.
But they were actually choosing death. That was something of their choice. And so Jesus came and became one of us and tasted that choice for all so that all could be made alive.
Yeah.
I call that the love of God in action.
Absolutely.
And we have to recognize this. Now, one of the things that came from the Reformation that I don't think lines up with the Word of God is this idea that because of Jesus, God can now love us.
Yeah.
Or because of Jesus, God can now treat us differently. Mm-hmm. And yes, because of Jesus. That's exactly right. But because of Jesus, we see the real essence of God.
Yes.
We have the proper lens to view God and to experience God through. Before Jesus, we only had the lens of sin and death. Now, that's going to give you a contorted view of God. Mm-hmm. So in Jesus, that sin is taken away, and now we can see God clearly. And we can know God clearly, that God is love. So because of Jesus, we can see what God was all about from the very get-go. And I think that's powerful to understand.
Absolutely. Yes. Our God is not Zeus.
No.
Wow. That is, how true is that? Thankful. Well, we appreciate hearing from you, Raina. I hope that's a help to you and all of our listeners, Bob and Richard. We would love to hear from you. If you have an opportunity to drop a question to us, you can do that either two good ways right now or three good ways, I guess. You can do it by phone at 844-322-2742. You can record it in your own voice, or you can drop an email to bob at basicgospel.net, or you can use the Basic Gospel app. Any of those ways will get the question to us. Oh, by the way, Facebook is a good opportunity to do that as well.
Yes, it is.
So we have just all kinds of ways that you can get a question to us, and we'd love to address it on Basic Gospel. Now, we have this very, very neat little brochure that Bob and Richard have created. It's called The Reformation Project, Powerful Passages That Speak to the Heart, and it is chock full of scripture that will lead you into a better understanding of this, Reformation that has gone on in our hearts.
Absolutely. These passages are really powerful, powerful passages, because they cut through all the clutter and the confusion of this world and really get down to the heart of the matter. And I told the story last week, I think, on the air, but in 1999, my dad passed away, and he went into an emergency room the day before he died. And he went in and he presented symptoms, tightness of chest. He felt kind of clammy and that sort of thing. And the emergency room physician treated him for flu-like symptoms.
Yeah.
So ignored, I don't think intentionally ignored, the tightness of the chest and heart-related problems. Didn't order an EKG, didn't do any other tests that would see if dad's heart was in distress or anything like that. He just said, I think you have the flu. You should go home, get some rest tonight, go see your doctor tomorrow. Well, the next morning, my dad woke up, was going down the hall to the restroom, and as he took a couple of steps into the hallway, he just fell straight over. My mom heard a big thump, and when she went out in the hallway, she knew my dad was gone. Well, a massive heart attack took my dad's life. Now, I tell that story because there's lots of pastors and lots of well-meaning Christians who act like that emergency room physician, who are treating the simplest of symptoms, kind of those felt needs, those surface needs that we all have in life. Folks, we're sitting there with tightness in our chest, and we're looking for answers to these distressed hearts that we have. Well, only the Word of God concerning Jesus, only the grace of God can speak to those issues.
Yeah.
Those are the passages that are the spiritual EKGs to show us what's really going on, so that we can find our rest, find that heart solution in Jesus Christ. So it's time for us to really take a stand on these powerful passages. If you're there feeling spiritual tightness in your chest, these verses are there to speak to your heart, to bring healing to that heart of yours, to bring wholeness to you as a human being, so that you can experience life, so that you can experience a relationship with God through Jesus Christ the Son, so that every other area of life can fall into place for you. But until that spiritual tightness is dealt with, you're going to struggle in every area of life. That's what you're longing for, and these passages speak to your heart. That's why we want to put them into your hands, so that that tightness in your chest, that spiritual tightness, can go away and you can just breathe and relax and rest in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Well, the brochure is called The Reformation Project, and of course, if you go to our website, basicgospel.net, you'll find a very prominent link right there on the homepage, and it is free. We'd love for you to have a copy. Again, basicgospel.net. Well, guys, from Red Oak, Texas, Regina wrote to us, after the shooting in Las Vegas, I told a couple of friends, whom I'm not sure are believers in Christ, that this is the result of the devil fighting against God, as referenced in Ephesians 6:12. I said it has nothing to do with blacks versus whites, straight people versus gay people, Republicans versus Democrats, or even gun control. Neither of them seemed to agree or even understand what I was saying. How should we as believers approach the topic of the spiritual battle with non-believers?
Well, I think she's really explained it well there.
Yes.
I mean, this is a matter of evil in a heart of a person, and that person choosing to act on that. I mean, Jesus was very clear that these things originate in the heart. Murder and adultery and all of those things start deep within us. And if we choose to act on them, then that's when they start to affect others. Well, here was a person that chose to act on those fleshly sinful impulses. And the result was devastating. As we see in a real-life example, the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
So here's something that bubbled up inside of this person's heart. It formed a plan in his thinking, and he executed that plan and pulled those triggers. Mm-hmm. And obviously there was some planning to it. This wasn't just a spontaneous act. Yeah. At least is the way it's being reported. It looked like there was a premeditated plan that he had developed, and he acted upon it. So it bubbled up. Now, what was the trigger that caused it to bubble up? I mean, that's what people are still trying to figure out. Is there a particular event or something that we can put a finger on and say that was the cause? That's what made the heart start thinking about this plan and made him to act upon it. We don't know that yet. That's still being determined. But we have to understand that we have, this flesh of ours has fleshly impulses, fleshly desires. We have to understand that we live in a world that has spiritual forces. We have God. We have the forces of darkness. Those things are real. And the forces of darkness want to carry out their agenda through the course of human events. So why do the spiritual forces of darkness want to do that? Because we are God's prized possession. We're the people that were made, created in his image. We're the people whom Jesus came to save. And so Satan and his band of demons want to carry out their agenda to steal, kill, and destroy through human experience, through the course of human events. And we've seen that throughout history. The very first example of that was the Garden of Eden, where Satan deceived, the crafty serpent deceived Adam and Eve. And so he gobbled them up into his agenda at that particular point in time, and all of mankind fell into that as well. Now, that's why Christ became one of us. That's why he took upon himself human flesh and dwelt among us. Why? So that we could be rescued from this kingdom of darkness and placed into Christ Jesus himself. So we have Satan trying to carry out his agenda through the course of human events. Eventually, or God is doing that, and eventually his agenda reigns supreme.
Yeah.
And that's the great hope, and that's why we need to voice this message of Christ to as many people as possible.
Without
why?
Question.
Because people need the Lord.
We need your help, friends, in order to help others hear, believe, and live this good news of Jesus Christ. You know, at Basic Gospel, we want to keep telling this story as often as we possibly can to as many people as we can. And with all the turmoil going on, as referenced by Regina in her note, those things going on these days, you know, silence is not an option. We need your help to get the message out. And as our thanks for your October gift to Basic Gospel, we want to send you our DVD series called The Reformation Project, Five Truths That Ignited the Protestant Reformation, and ignite Reformation, of course, in the human heart as well. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of The Reformation Project. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. And don't forget, friends, that we are streaming live video to both Facebook and YouTube each day. We hope you'll take advantage of this new venue to get the message out through Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.